Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Today we are continuing our study of the Gospel of John, and we shall go to the 12th chapter of that precious book. And I shall read to you verse 31 and 32. It says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Let us pray. Father, we pray now for the divine anointing of the Holy Spirit to come upon this needy servant. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Last week, I shared with you from this text and the verses preceding it that there is no way by which anyone could say that Jesus was only a prophet. Any careful reader of the Gospels, of the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John must conclude that either Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, or that he was the greatest deceiver who ever lived on the face of the earth, or one of the greatest deceivers who ever lived. So people who say, "I believe that Jesus was a good man, he was a prophet," are people who need to read the Gospels. They do not get this from the Gospels. Many religious systems in the world put Jesus on a list of great prophets, of great teachers. But my friend, again, this perception that Jesus was only a prophet can only come out of either a very careless reading of the Gospels or these dear ones not having read the Gospels at all. Because Jesus in the Gospels makes such extraordinary claims. And I want to remind you of some of these. For example, he says, "I am the bread of life." No prophet of God that ever preceded or followed the Lord Jesus has made such grand claims to be the bread of life. He also said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." No prophet of God prior to that or since ever dared to say such a thing as, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the only one by which man can be saved." No prophet ever before or since said, "Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, ye have no life in me." God's prophets do not say things like that. We're dealing here with someone who is above a prophet. No prophet ever before had been able to claim that he had the power to forgive man's sins. Jesus, when he was in Capernaum, before he healed the paralytic man, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." The power of forgiveness of sins is the exclusive right of God or the Son of God, the Anointed One. No prophet ever before had been able to say, "He that believeth in me has everlasting life, and he that believeth not in me is condemned already." Dear ones, those many of you, and I love you, and I hope you sense the love of God flowing through my heart towards you all, whether you're in India, whether you're in Africa, whether you're in the Middle East or in Asia, or somewhere in South America or on the islands of the sea, I trust that you hear me pleading with you this day. Would you please take the Gospels, these four accounts of the life and the teachings of Jesus in the Holy Bible, and read them carefully and see that Jesus could not have been just a prophet. So here again, looking at our text before us, John 12, 31 and 32, we see Jesus making statements which a prophet would never be allowed to make unless he was the Son of God. So let me read these verses to you. Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world come. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Oh, what tremendous statements these are. Like this one, "If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Well, can you see right here that this here had to be the Son of God, to make such a statement. A prophet would never have been able to say such a thing. Now, in the light of all this, we are ready for our text of today, and we take these phrases, these statements of our Lord, one by one. Number one, Jesus says, now is the judgment of this world come. What does this mean? Because Jesus was God the Son, because of the evidence that proves that Jesus was the Son of God, by virtue of the many powerful miracles he did, and the deep things of God he taught, if we reject him, the Son of God, my friend, judgment will come upon us. Because God loved us so much to give his only begotten Son as a sacrifice for our sins. And if he neglects this great salvation, this great Savior, woe unto us. Because we know that no one can give a greater sacrifice, but that he gives his life for another. And this is what Jesus has done. He died that we might live. But of course, for us to live forever in heaven, we have to receive him into our hearts by faith. We have to receive his love sacrifice for us, the forgiveness of our sins, and the new life in the Holy Spirit which he offers us. We must receive it. And so this is all tied up with this verse here, the statement, now is the judgment of this world. It all points to a cross put at a place called Calvary, where Jesus was crucified. This is why the book of Hebrews says in chapter 2, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed by us, unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. The first question of life, the most important question perhaps of life, is really, who is this man Jesus? And the second question that comes right after that in terms of importance is perhaps the question, since we know who he is, what are we going to do with him? You see, the whole great judgment on that great judgment day which will come, where all men will have to face Jesus. Every man has an appointment with death and an appointment with judgment day. Every person on the face of the earth. And so this whole great question of how we will be judged is in the relationship between us and the Lord Jesus. How we have responded to him. That's what it's all about. So getting back to our text. Now, as the judgment of this world come, It's come through Jesus, coming to the earth, dying on Calvary's tree on the cross. So have you received the Lord Jesus into your life? Then once you have received the Lord Jesus in your life, are you letting Jesus live his life in you and through you? Because once you receive Jesus into your life, you should be like a little Jesus, shouldn't you? Because he then lives his life in you and through you, and you will become Christ-like, that is, like Christ, like Jesus. And he works with you through your personality. Because God wants us to maintain our personalities, our uniqueness by which he created us. Now, point number two. The second statement here of this verse is, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. The casting out began with Christ's victory over sin and death, which the devil brought into the world. Sin and death are the fruits of the devil. And it shall end with Satan being cast into a bottomless pit to be tormented forever and ever in those fires of that pit. And now point number three, looking to the next verse or statement, and it says, and I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. What we see here is the devil going down and Jesus coming up. I like that. Don't you like that? The devil goes down, Christ goes up. Hallelujah. Jesus is lifted up. The devil is cast out and down. And what the devil has gained, Christ will reclaim. What the devil has taken, Christ has come to take it back. From Calvary on, from the crucifixion on, men from all nations will be drawn and shall be drawn to Jesus. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. The lifting up here refers to Jesus being lifted up on the cross. The drawing was not possible without there having been a lifting up of the Lord up to the cross on which he was nailed. The text is, And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Prior to the crucifixion of our Lord, the religion of the Jews was primarily a provincial religion, and there was not any reaching out of any great significance and drawing much beyond the borders of the land of Israel. But since that time, there has been a drawing of people to Jesus from all nations all over the world. So this was all prophesied in the book of Genesis, as early as Genesis chapter 49, which I shall read to you now. In Genesis 49, we have the story of Jacob, and the tribes of Israel come out of Jacob, and one of Jacob's sons was called Judah. And to Judah, this prophecy was given by Jacob, his father, as he was ready to die. He says, Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey, my son, thou art gone up. And then he says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him, unto Shiloh, that refers to Jesus, shall the gathering of the people be. What does this mean? Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and the scepter, it says, shall not depart from Judah, from this tribe. It represents a king, government rule through a king. And the lawgiver from between his feet refers to that judgment that will come through this king who will come out of Judah, who will be the lion of the tribe of Judah. And then this verse ends by saying, and unto him, that's unto Shiloh, that means Jesus, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. All this is prophecy being fulfilled in these days. It all began with Jesus' death on the cross, where it was written on that cross, not only in Hebrew, but also in Latin and in Greek, this is the Son of God. The prophecy began to be fulfilled on the cross. The Jews didn't want this written on there, that Jesus was the Son of God. But Pilate the Roman said, what I've written, I've written. So right there, the cross became an emblem, not only of the Jews, but an international emblem for all people, written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek, the great languages of the world of the time. It said, this is the Son of God. And now another passage I want to bring to you is Psalm 65:2, referring to all men will be drawn to Jesus. It says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. My friend, this means that in the days following the giving of the Spirit of the Lord, the lifting up of Jesus, people will be drawn to the Lord Jesus at least one time in their life. I believe that every person, no matter where they live, will be drawn to Jesus at least one time in a lifetime. So, dear ones, don't resist the drawing of the Lord, the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Come to him. Give him your sins and take his life into your life. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now. Until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.